All right, today being September the 29th, 2024, I want to finish out this church doctrine on sanctification, part number two. I want to finish that out today out of the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We're going to look at Jude. I'm going to try to get through all of these today and finish them out. Key words, try. Okay? Man, the Word of God. Thank you. Thank the Lord for the Word of God that gives us strength in times such as this. Now, last week, we got down, if I remember correctly, we got down through the book of James, okay? Got down through the book of James, and we were going to start 1st and 2nd Peter today. And in the book of 1st Peter, I want you to see something here today. Turn there to 1st Peter. Chapter number 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, God used these men to write the word. But this is God's word, not man's word. It's God's word. God's word. And God used these men to pen down so that the people of their day and you and I in our day today can know what thus saith the Lord. I think about it a lot of times, and some of the Jewish folks I knew, they would say, yeah, God even loved those Gentile dogs. Yeah, he sure did. He loved us, Gentile dogs. But you know what? Listen to me. Peter wrote to a group that were scattered abroad. They were scattered everywhere because of their faith, because of what they believed God had done. And he writes here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And then he deals with those believers who are suffering for their faith. Now, folks, here in America, God has been so good to us in this country. You would not believe how good God has been in this country. We have people all around the world that for the Christian faith, for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they suffer great persecution. And they are imprisoned. Some have been put to death. Some have been turned into slave labor for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Peter's day, there was a lot of that going on. But the key verse I want you to see in the book of 1 Peter, if you'll go over to chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. The Spirit of God has him write these words. He says, but rejoice. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And you know what? That's going to be a glorious day for the child of God. Amen. When we see the Lord. Now, before meeting the Lord Jesus, Peter, Simon, okay, was just a fisherman. He was a fisherman. He was a simple fisherman. But after he met the Lord Jesus, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And he became a fisher of men. He had a different position. And we know from over in the book of Matthew, in the book of 1 Corinthians, that Peter was married. Okay, we know that. Again, I've said this before, but a man would be a fool to have a mother-in-law and not have a wife, okay? And he had a mother-in-law that was sick. And Jesus healed her. There's a lot of folks today that they teach that Peter was never married, and you know, he was the first pope and all these things. That is not according to the Word of God, okay? He was married, and he had a mother-in-law that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, even healed. And through the Scriptures, we learn that Peter was somewhat impulsive. Would you agree with that? He was kind of impulsive. Open mouth and insert foot in many situations, all right? You and I, we have the same situation sometimes, do we not? All right? I'll say something that just off the cuff, without even thinking, and just insert my foot right into my mouth. Don't even take the shoe off, and it's there. So Peter was the same way. And now here in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes to those who perhaps were saved on that day of Pentecost. Because if you go back to the book of Acts, there in Acts chapter 2, you read of the people that were there from these very same places. In Acts chapter number 2. And when the Holy Spirit of God came upon them, there were some 18 different nations, 18 or 19 different areas of the world that were gathered there in Jerusalem for the Passover. And that is the day that the Spirit of God came upon the disciples. And when they spoke, the Bible said that every man heard them in their own language, their own tongue. And they were rejoicing in the fact that they could hear and understand the Word of God in their own language. It was not this jibber-jabber stuff you see on TV and religious programs today. Listen, God used them. And it's like Pastor says a lot of times, I think the miracle was in the hearing, because what they spoke, every man heard and understood in their own language. Turn back to Acts chapter 2 just a moment. Let's just look at it. I want you to see this. And I want you to see how Peter never forgot that day. And I want you to think about this. If you'll remember, Peter was the one that denied the Lord. How many times?
Three times.
He denied him three different times. He was afraid. Fear crept up in his life. And yet God used him to preach the message of the gospel. And some 3,000 folks got saved that day. Now look at it. Acts chapter number 2. Okay. Let's begin at verse number 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Devout. They were religious, okay? They knew the word of God. They knew the law, the Jewish laws. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I want you to note that. This was not something unknown. It was their own language. And look at this, verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? The Galileans, they were fishermen. They were just simple fishermen. And yet God used them to project the Word of God. And all these people heard them. Look at this, verse number 8. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, okay, in the language that they were born. Southern English is my tongue, okay, my home tongue, okay? Southern English, all right? When I moved up here, some folks said, oh, I have trouble understanding him. I had trouble understanding some of you folks, okay? But now, after 13 years, I've been able to get it, okay? I get it, all right? But the Bible said here, they asked the question, he said, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And look at the places. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Can you imagine that day? Not being able to hear it, but that day, you heard it and you understood it. Amen. Isn't that great? And now in 1 Peter, go back to 1 Peter, Peter is writing to these folks that were scattered abroad, okay? To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. All of these folks, he's writing to them again. And it's now here in chapter 1, that he writes to those folks, that perhaps some of those folks were the ones that were there and gotten saved on the day of Pentecost. But as he writes them, he reminds them that God had chosen them, he had saved them, and he had a plan for them. Now, somebody may ask and say, well, who did God choose? Well, let me ask you what Jesus said about that. In John chapter 3, the Bible said that God so loved what? Did he say just the rich? Did he just say the special groups or whatever? Did they? No. He chose to die for the world. Every person, man, woman, boy, girl. Listen, didn't matter where they came from. He chose to make to them the gift of God available. The salvation of God available to them. And as he writes here, he reminds them that they were indeed not only chosen, but saved. And now he wanted them to understand that God had a plan for them, even during times of persecution and trouble. Folks, we are going to experience times of persecution and trouble. You're going to have that. No matter where you go, no matter where you live, you're going to have it. But you know what? We're on the winning side. Amen. We're on the winning side. Pastor Malad, here preaching last Sunday night from Lebanon. Pastor and I have been there to his house, to his church. And his house is just above the church that looks down in southern Lebanon, down the hill, down the road, and across the way is Hezbollah headquarters. He sent me video today of what it looked like the day that Israel blew up the last guy that was in charge of things. And brother, I'm telling you, it would just scare to death. But he asked us, he said, be praying for my family, my wife, my daughter. They were walking down the road and they took pictures of the bombs as they were going off. He sent videos of that. And I'm telling you, but they're living in an area where it is a lot of trouble going on right now. But folks are being saved. People that were once following after false pagan gods have turned unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They have accepted Him as their Savior. And God has His hand of protection upon them right there. And I'm thankful for that today. And Peter is trying to let them know here, listen, the God that loves you, He's going to protect you and He's going to take care of you. Look at verse 3 through 5 in 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, guess what, folks? The resurrection is important. Amen? You know why it's important? Because today we serve a risen Savior. We serve a Savior that is alive and well. He's not dead. He knows you. He knows me. And He's alive and well. And look what He said. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. How are we saved? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we kept saved? By the power of God through faith. You know what? It's God that keeps us saved. It's not my good works. It's not my good deeds. I had a plan for things going on at my house yesterday. Okay? Saturday was a day. I'm trying to get some things done. We had electrical work we had to get done. We had some other stuff that we were trying to fix up. I got most of it done. Okay? A lot of it done. We got a lot finished, but I didn't get it all done. And you know what? If people come back and said, hey, you had to work for your salvation, you had to do something, I would be worried every day I didn't get it done. Okay? I'd be worried I didn't get it all done. But there is nothing that we can add to or take away from what God has already done. Many places spell salvation D-O. Do. Do this. Do that. Do this. Do that. But God's Word spells it done. D-O-N-E. It's finished through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died upon the cross to take the pain and the suffering away that we would have to suffer if we paid the debt for our sin. He paid the debt in full. And that's why He cried out unto His Father, it is finished. The veil of the temple was rent in two. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. It's not through my good works. God knows it's not through good looks. I know that for sure. Amen. And most of you guys are the same way. Okay. All right. Listen, it's not through your bank account. It's not through church membership. It's not through any of those things. It's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are kept saved by the power of God. You know what? God's power will never run out. Amen. Our power will run out. When we had the tornadoes that came through and trees fell across our house, okay? Our ceiling fan, our bedroom had been out for a while. And there was a piece inside there that had blown out evidently when the power went out. It blew a whole circuit thing up there. We got it all fixed up yesterday. And you know what? Listen, without the power, I couldn't have had a light or a fan running or anything like that. But we fixed it yesterday, so we got power going to it and got everything. Now I got a light and a fan. And man, I can enjoy that. And you know what? It's the power of God that keeps us saved. The devil can't defeat God. He may try to defeat you. He may try to aggravate you and frustrate you and confuse you. But you know what? The power of our salvation is in the Lord God Himself. It's in Christ. So we look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and those verses. And here he exhorts them to rejoice in manifold temptations. In all the temptations that they go through, in all the trying of their faith, he tells them to rejoice that and to remember that through their coming through the trials and their coming through the temptations, in the power of God, there was victory for them. There's joy, and it's verification of their salvation before men because God brought them through that. If you'll remember, look what he said here. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, and though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Listen, their ability to rejoice in the Lord while in the midst of the troubles and while in the midst of their trials and the temptations that they were going through would be further proof to the world as well as to other believers that their faith was indeed genuine in the Lord. And that God was faithful to see them through each of those trials. Did you know that God is faithful to see you through every trial? Did you know that? God is faithful to see you through. Do you remember back in Exodus chapter 13? When the Bible talked about how it would have been easier for the children of Israel when God brought them out of Egypt. It would have been easier for them to go through and pass through the land of the Philistines. But there would have been much war, and they were not ready for war. It would have been easier for them to go through that area. So what did God do? God made the way for them to go through the wilderness where there was no water, no food, no anything readily available. Why did he do that? So that they would learn to trust him. To trust him. And folks, so many times we have to go through trials and heartaches and things like this. Don't get mad at the Lord. Don't get upset with God. Listen, I had an algebra teacher. I thought she just despised the ground I worked on, I walked on, because she would give me these horrible tests and I would fail them. And I thought, this woman just hates me. She hates me. You know why she gave me those tests? To see if I had learned anything in the lessons before the test. And guess what? When I didn't learn, she had to go back through and I had to go through it all over again. And you know what I learned? I learned to learn from the first time you go through something so you don't have to go through it a second time. I ended up taking algebra 2 years. The second year, I learned it well. I learned to listen in class, take the notes, follow the examples that I was given from the book. Folks, is that not what we're supposed to do with the Word of God? We're supposed to look to follow the examples given unto us from the Word of God so that when the trials, the testings come, we can be able to pass the test and God can move us on to the next level in our Christian life. Now, look at it here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21, he said this, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober." In other words, be serious about this thing. "And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Look at this. As what? As obedient children. Did you know that God only has two types of children? Ones that love Him enough to obey Him, and ones that don't care enough about Him, and they choose to disobey Him. Hey, guess what? That's the kind of children that you and I have today as well. We either teach them to trust us because they see our love for them. They see that we're not going to lead them in the wrong direction. They see that we're going to teach them in the right ways of God. And they learn to trust and to obey. And you know what? That makes a happy parent, does it not? You got two boys. Does that not make a happy parent when they trust and obey? Amen? It does with me. But you know what? It breaks our heart when they choose to disobey. They choose not to trust what we've told them they need to do. And Peter is reminding them here, listen, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, not the way you used to live before you got saved, before you came to know Christ, don't go back to that old way of living. There's nothing there for us. God brought us out of that. He brought us into new life in Him. And look what He said. "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now that's just not verbal speaking, but that's in the way of life, the way that we live from day to day. "Because it is written," He said here, "Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your journey here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation," that vain lifestyle, traditions of men's, what he's saying, okay? "Not through those things received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Our faith and hope today is not in self. Buddy, I let my own self down. I've got my little list, and I thought, well, I got 5 out of 10 things done today. I feel pretty good about that. But what if I missed the most important thing? Man, I failed, didn't I? And you know what? Christ never fails. God never fails. Our faith and hope is in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, go over to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Peter here, even as Paul had done in times past, he spoke briefly to the husbands and wives regarding their love and honor for one another within the home. Here in chapter number 3, he talks about that. He begins that chapter, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation or the manner of living of the wives." And he did this, he reminds them, okay, he's reminding them that truly true holiness to God, it begins at home, where you are. Listen, people want to say, well, I want to go out and let the world see that I know Christ. Well, let me ask it, does your family know that you know Christ? Does your spouse know that you know Christ as your Savior? Husbands, are you leading your family? Are you being that spiritual head of the family as you ought to be? Wives, are you praying for that husband? Are you there helping and supporting him and what he's doing for the Lord? That's the way we ought to be. And he talks about that here. And as he did this, he reminded them that to truly be happy, both the husband and the wife must be willing to fulfill their part in making it happen. Listen, it's not all my wife's doing that keeps things going at home. Okay? I kid everybody about this all the time. And I was vacuuming last night. I was getting ready to mop, and I didn't finish mopping. I just didn't get it all done. But I did finish the vacuuming and everything else. And, you know, somebody said, well, why did you do that? And I said, well, it's cheaper than alimony. You know, it's cheaper than alimony. Amen, sweetie. She waves as she goes by. The mopping's tomorrow. Okay, I'm off tomorrow. I'll get the mopping done tomorrow. But listen, we help each other out. You know, with this hip surgery I had, I was having trouble still lifting stuff right now. I'm still having a little trouble lifting some stuff. And I was busy this week. We had soul winning and we had classes going on at night. And I was late getting home. And when I came up Highway 27 and turned into my driveway, I noticed that the garbage cans were sitting up at the end of the road. Now, my driveway is about a third of a mile long. You know that. And I thought, man, she already brought the garbage cans up there. Amen. That's great. She brought the garbage cans up for me. She walked them up there by her own little self. I was just praising the Lord for that. So Thursday night when I came home, I was coming home late, and I thought, well, I need to park the car, walk back up, get the garbage cans, and walk back down with them. I got home. She already walked the garbage cans back down for me. And I thought, I'll mop again on Saturday. Amen. I'll mop. I don't mind. But we're working together. Listen, a home, it takes three to make a marriage. Did you know that? It takes a husband and a wife and the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Listen, you can stack bricks together and they'll stand there just nice and pretty and straight as long as there's no pressure put against them, as long as the winds don't blow and knock them over. You can stack those bricks up just as straight and pretty as you want to. But if the trials come, somebody leans up against that stack of bricks, that stack of bricks will fall over and they'll go everywhere. You know what keeps those bricks together? It's the mortar between them. The mortar between them. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And He's the one that keeps the home together. He's the one that binds that husband and wife together and makes the two to become one. And Peter is trying to remind them here, listen, this is what you ought to do. Have your home set up to let folks know that you love the Lord God. He goes back to the subject of suffering for Christ. And he writes here in verses 17 and 18 in chapter number 3. He said, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And what he's trying to remind us here is, as Christ suffered reproach, even sometimes you and I are going to suffer reproach for knowing Christ as our Savior. And here he reminds us that Christians will indeed suffer for their faith. And if you go to chapter 4 and look at verse 16, look at verse 16, chapter number 4. He said, even though you know you're going to suffer, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, he said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed if you have to suffer for Christ. Don't be ashamed and quit. Okay? Don't do that. Look what else he said. He said, but let him glorify God on this behalf. He's to glorify God. Turn back with me to the book of Acts just a moment. And I think Peter is remembering a lot of these things earlier in his ministry. So the book of Acts, chapter number 5, and I want you to look at three, four verses. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 through 42. Look what he said here. Dr. Luke writes this. He's reminded that when these disciples were, they were practicing what they were preaching. The Jews didn't like it because they stood before men and they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Any of you ever been beaten for knowing Christ as your Savior? We've not had to go through anything like that yet. It may come to that one day. But the Bible said here, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they, talking about the disciples, and they departed from the presence of the council and said, I quit. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to tell anybody else about Jesus. I'm not going to go out and witness to anybody anymore. I'm not going to tell anybody what Christ has done for me because they'll hurt me. Is that what they did? Look what the Bible said. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And look at the next sentence. And daily, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? That gives us examples to follow. Listen, if they could live for Christ, you and I can live for Christ today. Amen? We can be found faithful. Why? Because we focus our love on the one that loved us first. John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 19. He said, we love Him because He first loved us. Thank God for that today. Amen? Now we come to the book of 2 Peter, the second general epistle. And here, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, Peter deals with the subject of heresy in the last days before Christ returns. He deals with heresy. Peter's life is almost over here, okay? He's older now, and yet he urged the believers to whom he had now written to stay faithful to God and to trust His Word. Listen, today, folks, if I could tell you anything, if I could leave you with any thought today, it would be this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What He has started, He will finish. Amen? And I've got complete trust in Him. I know that He's going to take care of things. He reminds them here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 16 through 21, He shows them, He reminds them how to detect heretical teaching and of the way that God has designed so as to keep us from becoming entangled in false teachings. There's a lot of false teaching going on in our world today, folks. A lot of false teaching. Look what the Bible said. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. He said, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. You remember the story of the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter, James, and John are up there. And the clothing, even the clothing, is just brighter than the sun. And two other men were there with Jesus. Who were they? Moses and Elijah. And old Peter speaks up and he says, "Oh, Lord, this is wonderful. Oh, man, we're seeing something that nobody else has seen before. We need to build three temples, one to Jesus and one to Elijah and one to Moses." And all of a sudden, they hear that voice from heaven. And it's God saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." And when they got up off the ground, they saw no one but the Lord Jesus. Amen. Peter is reminding them of this today. And he said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." What is he telling them? He's telling them, stay in the Word of God. Amen. Don't let the world tell you, "Oh, that's just a book of fables." Listen, if there were no other reason in the world to believe that this is the Word of God than what we're seeing happen in the Middle East right now, that's enough proof to prove to us today that the Word of God is real. Amen. Everything that Jesus said would happen before he comes back again, we see it now taking place. We see these things coming to be, and we're watching it. We're living in that day. You can't quit. Man, you can't stop serving God. Listen, we may be closer to the Lord Jesus coming back today than we've ever been before. We are closer than any other day we've ever lived in this life. And I want to be found faithful unto him. And he also reminds them here that as they stand for biblical truth, that there would be mockers, scoffers that would come and make fun of what true Christians believe and teach. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed by water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Boy, you need to remember that today. Amen. God does not go back on his word. He is not slack concerning his promise. But look at what he said. "As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You say, "Preacher, why hasn't the Lord Jesus come back yet?" I'll tell you why. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And folks, listen to me today. You and I have been left here upon this earth to be lights in a dark world of sin. We are to shine forth the message of the Word of God. We have a job to do, and we need to be broadcasting that message, the message of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what else he said. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Any of you know when the thief is coming to your house? No. If he comes to my house, he might die of lead poisoning, okay? But I don't know when they're coming. I don't know when they're planning to break in. We don't know what's going to happen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. And here he reminds them again that God is still faithful. God wants all men, all women, all boys, all girls to be saved. He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. And folks, without this book, we wouldn't know the truth. Without the Holy Spirit of God living within us, we wouldn't know the truth today. But He gives us that truth. And we have a job. And that job is to share that with everybody. Everybody. Are folks going to all accept it? No. No. We've had folks this week, our teenagers went just door to door through neighborhoods, inviting folks to come to Sunday school, to church, to give them the gospel. And we had folks that ran them out of the neighborhood, ran them out, told Pastor Josh, don't ever come back down here or we'll call the police. I wonder if they'll remember that when they stand before the Lord one day. I think they will. Folks, listen, we're living in perilous days, but our job is to stay faithful to the one who saved us. Amen. We're to stand faithful for Him. Next week, we'll finish out 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude. Okay? We'll finish those out, and then we'll go into the next section of the lesson. Let's pray today, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord God, I thank You for the privilege, Lord, that You have given unto us, not only to know You as our Savior, but to be able to live for You as a born-again child of God. Lord, we have no glory in ourselves. There's nothing that we have done that would merit salvation. God, it's all because of Your great love for us. But Lord, we have received that gift of salvation. And now, Lord, we have been commanded to take that message to everybody, everybody, everywhere. And it needs to start right where we are. Help us, dear God, to be found faithful as we grow and our relationship with You. Help us, Lord, to love You because You first loved us and to be willing to share that great love with everyone we come in contact with. Bless now as our pastor stands to preach this morning. I pray, dear God, that You'll bless him and strengthen him in the Word of God. Help him, Lord, to preach what thus saith the Lord. And Lord, if there be anybody that may be in our services today that do not yet know You as their Savior or may be listening to the sound of my voice through the internet even now, Father, help them to see their need of salvation and come to You today and be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school, okay? We'll see.